We're rolling right along here on this Wednesday. Welcome into the show. Broadcasting live from St. Thomas Sports Park, Tennessee Titans training camp day one. A glorious day. Football back in our lives. We're going to get your calls in on the dumbest thing in sports this week before Titans general manager John Robinson joins us momentarily. A lot of good questions to ask the GM. But in the meantime, 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. We are also later in this hour going to hear from maybe a little bit of Mike Vrabel, because we'll have John on while Mike is talking, but Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, is scheduled to take the podium today as well. Great Titans training camp coverage provided to you as always by our friends at Two Rivers Ford, who have made sure that this is all possible for us and for you. So many thanks to the fine folks at Two Rivers Ford. TwoRiversFord.com is where you check them out. So, you've called in with your dumbest thing in sports this week. Let's start with Bam, who is up first, wants to weigh in on the dumbest thing in sports this week. What's up, Bam?
What's up? How you feeling, bro? You all right?
Man, I'm doing okay. I'm not sweating too bad. The boys got a fan out here for me. I'm in a tent. I'm being very well taken care of.
So right now, you're definitely living the life.
It could be worse.
My dumbest thing is the disrespect that the Titans are getting. Somebody wrote an article saying they're the most second overrated team. I'm like, man, come on, man. Like, what are these dudes going to have to do? Are they going to have to become the Avengers or, you know, the Fantastic Four or something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the disrespect of some of the greatest athletes in the game, you know? I mean, I just don't know why everybody has this thing of some people of, oh, they're a super team, and, oh, they look good on paper. And, you know, everybody got their opinion. But, man, respect the team. Let them, at least let them come out and, you know, instead of just saying they're overrated. You know, I don't know, man. It just feels like they go out to put up 50 points a game for people to halfway give them respect.
No, I appreciate the call, Bam. 615-737-1045. So the article that he's referencing where the 33rd team, it's Mike Tannenbaum's website, does a lot of scouting and front office analysis. I get their newsletter, I think, every day. And so I read the article he's talking about, the Titans and the Saints as the two most overrated teams heading into training camp. And, you know, I understand why that bothers Titans fans. I would also say to you that it means absolutely nothing right now. We are doing nothing but talking. We are just to the point today. Today is the first time where we have actual football on a football field to discuss, to sink our teeth into. And we will not know whether this team is overrated, properly rated, or even underrated until probably a month into the season. So there's no reason to sweat out these articles of overrated and underrated and top 10 or not top 10 and on and on and on it goes until we get back to football season. It's just meant to do exactly what Bam has brought, which is start conversation and also drive website clicks. 615-737-1045 is how you weigh in on the dumbest thing in sports this week. We also have accepted submissions, as is our custom, on Twitter. Lucas, what are the people saying at Buck Rising right now?
Well, but before that, I might say Zach Ertz's newest hairstyle might be the dumbest thing in sports this week. Just
okay.
To
I'm gonna have to. You texted it to me.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's
what
awesome.
Is that?
It's awesome.
Did he get a perm?
It's like his bleach blonde perm. It's great.
Oh, good Lord.
He looks like a different person.
Oh, he looks like a character out of American History X. He's got to be careful. That's a tough one.
But on Twitter, overall, people are largely agreeing with us. John Miller says, the anger and vitriol Simone Biles has received by people who don't possess one-tenth of the talent and dedication she possesses. Football and other F-words, our friends over there say T.J. Ward 100%.
T.J. Ward, I still can't get over how dumb it is to tell somebody, yeah, maybe, Ron, it's okay, just die. That's fine, just die.
Goody says people tearing down Simone Biles for trying to take care of her mental health. Gymnastics is a dangerous sport when you're fully healthy and in good mental health. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not seeing a single. Okay, here's one that's not Simone Biles or TJ Ward related, because those have kind of taken over. Steven Seagal, his profile picture is literally a seagull with Steven Seagal's face on it.
Well done.
Montreal Canadiens picking a guy in the first round who got arrested for secretly taking / sending pictures of getting a word that I can't say on the radio. I mean, he released a statement a day before the draft saying he didn't want to be drafted, and Montreal didn't have an answer as to why they drafted him.
Well, the YouTube chat is decidedly less pro-Simone Biles the YouTube chat has lit up with, you know, failure and quitter and all of these things in a way that it seems to be a little more nuanced on Twitter.
Stay away from the YouTube chat then.
The YouTube chat says Carrie Benford says it's selfish what Simone Biles has done.
Oh, it's selfish.
It's selfish to focus on mental health. Indeed. Go ahead.
People understand that she's spinning 10 feet in the air. Like, what happens when your mind wanders when you're 10 feet in the air and you're upside down doing a whatever skill you're doing that has made her the greatest gymnast on the planet? Like,
in a sport that is already such a high risk of injury. It is. I mean, gymnastics. What is more dangerous than gymnastics, unless you're like Emmanuel Acho and you think people are smoking pot and throwing the javelin?
Yeah, sometimes I think people get a pass in certain situations. I think a sexual abuse survivor who was abused by her own team doctor, back representing her team and the rest of the survivors, knowing because she's the greatest gymnast of all time, when it's time to take a step back because she understands what will happen. Yeah, I think she gets a pass. Like, why would Simone Biles just say, "Nope, I'm good. I don't feel like competing." Like, is that what people think is going through her head? Like, no, I'm a little stressed. I don't want to be out there.
Nah, you know, I've made it. What do I need to do this? I mean, it's just the whole thing pisses me off because it's a fraudulent Olympics in a country that was not able to cancel it because of television contracts, because we're all just grasping at the dollars right now when there are no fans in the stands and NBC has paid God knows how many billions of dollars for the exclusive right to the Olympics. It's completely out of control. What's not going to be out of control, we think, is Titans General Manager John Robinson. He's getting ready to join the show. Coming up next, live from St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp, day one. Stick around. The GM joins us. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Now, this song has particular meaning to the man who is going to join us here momentarily, Titans General Manager John Robinson. This video went viral last offseason. John Robinson singing, "Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone," chilling in an armchair. Having done the work for the offseason, getting ready for the 2020 season, man, it was okay. He's just good enough to be a bad singer, I think. We'll see if we can critique his singing expertise when he joins us momentarily. They've just broken, or they're still huddled up on the practice field. By the way, we're live out here for the next 3 days and I think the foreseeable future at training camp while we have these practices to be able to hang out. So the practice is getting ready to conclude. The players are starting to peel off now. Now, several updates to note. Taylor Lewan did leave practice early, but returned later on. I'm not sure how much he was able to do. That much I could not see from where we're sitting here at the tent, but I did see him walk off with the trainer and then walk back out. Now, John Glennon has a more detailed practice report, given that Johnny was roaming the field while we've been over here doing the radio show. Derrick Henry worked a lot in the sand pit. Julio Jones Limited didn't work all of the drills. And then, of course, Ryan Tannehill, Christian Fulton, the two players that we have seen wearing masks, which would indicate that they are not vaccinated, wearing masks during stretch, which would indicate that they are not vaccinated. Now, this was something that John took time out of practice to make a stance on, that the Tennessee Titans are looking to be leaders in their community in regards to vaccination. 90%, the roster has come quite a long way since they broke for mandatory minicamp, and whether the NFL's nuclear option to potentially cost players money, make the franchises that would have to forfeit games due to unvaccinated COVID outbreaks, whether that was the impetus, the spur that kind of moved things along a little quicker for across the league, except maybe in Indianapolis and Washington, where they're still reporting as the lowest vaccinated teams in the NFL right now. But this is something that is going to continue to be a theme, right? The Titans already put a player on the COVID reserve list today. Now, he is Chris Jones, not the defensive lineman out of Kansas City, but a defensive back for the Titans. It's something that I think, you know, until it really starts to hit home again, I think people are going to continue to regard this as a normal season. And honestly, Rhett Bryan is out here sitting with me for Titans Radio. He's been doing a great job. He'll provide excellent content for Mike Keith and Coach Mack and the Titans Radio broadcast that they're getting ready to gear up for. But to sit out here with Rhett and to see all our media friends and to see things, you know, almost back to normal, there's just such a comfort in this that I hope that I can accurately describe to the audience, because it just means that we're going to be able to enjoy our sporting events, hopefully, in full force again. But I have a handful of questions for John Robinson when he walks over and joins us here momentarily. Mike Vrabel getting ready to take the podium. John Simon, new Titans linebacker, currently speaking to the assembled media vultures right now from a distance of 10 feet. Rhett is so much smarter than I am. He thought to brought, you know, basically a microphone extension to get the audio quality that we're going to be requiring so we don't all take, you know, terrible Bigfoot videos from across the side of the fence. But John Simon, new Titans linebacker, speaking to the assembled media right now. I've got some questions about this defense for John, not Simon, Robinson, about why it was so important to be able to pull the trigger on not a whole new roster on that side of the ball, but do as much as humanly possible to be able to retool and fortify, why it was so important to get new players in this regard, why it was so important to allow the coaching staff to have another opportunity at this, but say, okay, we've provided you with these new pieces. We're going to make sure that there are no excuses as to why our defense can't operate at a higher level this year. Now, you have a bunch of players in contract years as well. John Robinson strolling over to the table, fresh off Titans practice. Doesn't look as sweaty as I was expecting. John, what's going on? We're gonna set you up right here. Wherever within the distance, we got to make sure. Would you rather stand in the shade? Whatever makes it easier for you. Rhett, can we flip his microphone on just to make sure? Okay, well, I'm not able to hear him, Lucas. But anyway, I can do this with my headphones off. John, we appreciate you spending some time. How we living? So, John, apparently I'm being told that we can't hear him. Rhett, if we could do something about this. I'm sorry for the inconvenience here. We'll make sure that we can get the Titans general manager. See if we can't get John Robinson back on air with us here in just a second as we broadcast live from Titans training camp. Well, you know what? The hell with this, John. Why don't I just come out? Can I interview you from a distance? All right. So, John, first day of training camp practice. What's it been like? How did you like the energy from your team?
Good intensity from the guys. Guys came out ready to go. Obviously, some things we got to get cleaned up here, but guys were excited to get back out here and get started.
So when you're going into your pre-camp process, I guess kind of walk the audience through what exactly that looks like from your guys, from your staff, from you personally, when you're getting ready to put these guys together and start evaluating the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, since we've been here, we've talked about putting the most competitive 90-man roster together as possible, and then letting these guys duke it out, letting them come out here. They know the standard that we want to practice at. They know the level of intensity that we want to have at practice. You got to take care of each other. You know, it's a long season. It's a long camp. But that's one of the things that we're looking to do is try to get as competitive a position group at every position as possible heading into camp.
So among the position groups that you're going to have competition at, I mean, you good?
Low back just got a little tight, Buck. We're good. Snug.
Camp injuries have already begun.
Nah, I'm not on IR. No pup.
No IR. So with the competition in the secondary, you guys added a bunch of new defensive backs. Caleb Farley, not yet available to you guys. Elijah Molden, Jack Rabbit. This is a much different looking group, and on defense, a much different looking group. But specifically in the secondary, what kind of steps are you looking to see from somebody like Christian Fulton, who had a weird offseason last year, as all rookies did, but having an opportunity to take advantage of this offseason, so much so that he got praise from the head coach yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Christian really had an outstanding offseason. You could see it during the OTA practices. You could see it in the mini camp. He's tighter in man coverage. You know, he just has a better feel for the defense. His body feels more acclimated and ready to go for the pro game. And, the big thing for that entire secondary and the defense in general is the communication piece. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to lining up against different offensive sets and motions, but making sure we communicate, we're all on the same call. It may be the wrong call, but you all want to be on the same call so you're all executing the same plan.
How much of an emphasis was that communication throughout the course of the offseason? Because third down defense is something that's continually cited coming off of last year. You hope that statistics don't translate from year to year, that the work that you guys have done to rebuild this thing will help in that effort. But what was this offseason like in regards to that third down?
Yeah, I think you touched on this, the communication piece, making sure that, whether we check something, we call something, this motion, it turns into this, then they motion back and it kicks back to the original call. Just making sure that we're communicating, that we're echoing those calls so that we're all on the same page, and that we're all executing the same plan of attack. And, when you got a bunch of different pieces coming in from either different NFL teams or the draft, you've got to get up to speed pretty quickly. And I'm proud of where our guys ended mini camp and excited to see how we started today.
Titans general manager John Robinson here with us on 104.5 The Zone. John, if your back's bothering, you're welcome to sit down.
No, you're good. I'm great. I need to stand up.
Got to get your steps in today. With the situation regarding vaccination, you felt it necessary to open up training camp, making a statement with us. People can find that on social media, of course. Walking through media, the new policies that have put into place, and this basically being not a last-minute situation, but the league learning as it goes to try and make sure that everybody's kept safe and well. Why is it so important to you to be a leader on the front of vaccinations? Because that's something that's been polarizing, no matter what sect of society that you are in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's obviously at the forefront of discussion in our country right now. With the vaccination rates, the different variants that are coming out of this virus. We're still in some degree of a pandemic. The ebbs and flows of the charts on a daily basis with the number of cases, the number of hospitalizations. And I wanted it, to be known that, we want to be leaders in our community, in our state. We educated our players. We continue to educate our players. At the end of the day, it's a personal decision, and we respect that. The protocols are put in place to protect the players, to protect the team, the teammates, our families, everything. That's why the protocols are in place. It's not for punishment. It's really more for protection. So to be at 90% vaccinated, I thought that was important to share with the community, with those that follow our football team, our fans, so that they know we have been pushing to educate our players so that they have the information to make the best decision for themselves and their families.
And it's all about personal choice, as you stated as well. Now, something that is a part of the protocol is unvaccinated players during stretch wear masks. We saw Ryan Tannehill wearing a mask today. I'm sure there were conversations had about that. A leader of your football team, and certainly something that you guys have said that you wanted to be on the forefront of. What have you had a conversation, I guess, with Ryan about lack of vaccination and what implications that might have?
Well, there are different stages. I kind of touched on that. Really, four different categories are where players at. You've got, players that are fully vaccinated that don't have masks on. You have players that, they're just waiting for that final, day 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, whatever that may be, to be fully vaccinated. You've got some players that are in between vaccinations if they've taken the one of the two shots that are available. Then you've got some guys that have chosen not to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated yet. So, we're just following the protocols that the league's put in place and respecting everybody's decision and being mindful of the protection pieces that we need to do that the league says that we have to do in order that we can get this season played.
No question about it. We all hope that this is as close to normal as humanly possible. Coming off of last year. So you guys don't do injury updates. You don't do injury timelines. That is something that we all understand and respect. But Caleb Farley and Bud Dupree are fascinations, of course, by the fan base. First round pick and your guys' top free agent acquisition this offseason. What information can you share with the audience about where these two guys are?
Yeah, those guys have worked extremely hard in the offseason, and they were part of the early group that came back a couple days early before the vets. And got some, got some work in on the field. It's part of their return to play protocol, if you will. Different players are at different stages, depending upon where they're at health-wise. We're being mindful that our doctors and our trainers update Coach Vrabel and I daily on that. But those guys are progressing. I know they're working hard. I know they're itching to get back out here. But being mindful of of their bodies, and it's a long season. It's a 6-month season, and we want to get off to a good start and make sure that they're in a good position so that they're playing productive reps for us there in December and hopefully January.
Does that additional regular season game that has been added this year, does that make your job any different as far as roster evaluation? Does it change substantially anything that you and your staff do?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a 20-game season, whether it's four preseasons and 16 regulars or, you know, three preseasons and 17 regulars. You know, it's another chance for our players to go out and compete. It's another home game for us this year, which we're excited about in the regular season. So, you know, that's what the league agreed to with the ownership group and the PA, and we're excited to take the field and play the game.
Titans general manager John Robinson, kind enough to give us some of his time here on 104.5 The Zone. John, I really appreciate you stopping by and happy to be back out here at camp.
Absolutely. Great seeing you, Buck.
No doubt. The GM, kind enough to hang with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Hopefully he can get that back taken care of on day one of training camp. He's going to make it. 615-737-1045 is how you react to anything that you just heard from John Robinson. A couple of interesting conversation points there. With this vaccination policy and with the protocols that the league has put in place, with the way that the NFL is trying to make sure that they can respect personal choice while also, more importantly than anything, protecting their bottom line. That's what this is about. The NFL has always prioritized, as a league, as an entity. I'm not talking about the Titans as an organization. I'm not talking about the Colts or any other team specifically, but the governing body of the NFL that runs this thing, the idea that they would be prioritizing health and human safety at this point almost rings a little hollow to me. This is something that is in line with the popular opinion. Football is in line with science in this regard, having to do with vaccinations. But I do understand, because this conversation is going to start about Ryan Tannehill, the situation where you see Christian Fulton and Tannehill wearing masks today. As Robinson walked us through it, it does not necessarily mean that they're not vaccinated. They could be in any different stages of vaccination based on the time period that they have. Something important to note when you see those tweets coming out, because those tweets will come out over the course of today, and the people already, you know, chirping back at me about the idea that why is this newsworthy that Ryan Tannehill and Christian Fulton are wearing a mask? Why, and, you know, why do we care? Well, I do think it's important to note, because you would care. You would care to know if something were to happen, like last year, for example, an outbreak occurs. It's still possible in this year. Fortunately, we are seeing people test positive coming into training camps across the league, and like Frank Reich, the head coach of the Colts, being double vaccinated and still testing positive, but asymptomatic. That, to me, signifies that the vaccination process is at least having some effect. But you are going to want to know. You are going to want to identify these players should something happen in the middle of the season, like last October, where, you know, the Tennessee Titans go through the first COVID outbreak in all of football. And it becomes a national talking point, so much so that they end up on CNN and NBC Nightly News, and people are talking about the Tennessee Titans, outlets that would never come close to covering the local professional football team here in Nashville. It's going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to be a talking point and something that spans over the course of the season. But I do think it's critical that John Robinson has made it known that the organization wants to do their part to encourage people to get vaccinated. Because Mike Vrabel has done that. He has said in not so many words, as Lucas pointed out yesterday when we're going through this about Vrabel's opening press conference, the diplomacy that he approached it with, right? This was not Bruce Arians sauntering up to the podium and saying, well, I don't know why you wouldn't get the vaccine, not accounting for certain situations and certain reservations that people are naturally going to have. You can't just cast these things. This is where I think the conversation gets so skewed. I think that this ultimately gets so polarized that people aren't willing to, you know, understand that you do not have to operate in extremes. And that's what the Titans are trying to avoid doing. They're trying to make sure that they educate their team. They're trying to make sure that they educate their staff. They're trying to make sure that they put people in as safe a position as humanly possible. That includes us. We out here at training camp are being socially distanced for a purpose, because they have an obligation as long as we're out here. Not that anybody would, you know, cry if I perished from COVID or something like that. But why don't we go to Ryan Tannehill, who's at the podium right now, because I'm sure this is a question that is going to be addressed.
We have some familiar faces around here and added some new pieces. So excited about that. But we have a lot of work to do, and nothing's going to happen before we put the work in.
Ryan, what John Robinson told us before practice today, that it was 90% vaccination rate for the team. Your thoughts on that number? And then noticed you were wearing a mask and stretch also. Have you made a decision, one way or another, on the vaccine yourself?
Yeah, it's a high number. You know, you look around and almost everybody's either been vaccinated or in process. I'm currently in process right now, so that's where it's at. But I think the NFL has kind of made it clear what they want to happen. And if you don't fall in line, they're kind of trying to make your life kind of miserable with all the protocols. So I think you're seeing the trend is that most guys are getting vaccinated.
You're in the process?
Okay. How good to have AJ back, and how did you think he'd look first time out since last year?
It's great to have AJ back out here. You know, I love throwing the ball to AJ. Love being on the same side of the game as him. He's a great dude and a great football player. So excited to have him back. Obviously, he's out here working, doing some new things and excited about that. So, he made a couple plays today and it looks good doing it. So that's all good.
How do you feel about the competition after AJ, Julio, and Josh? You know, the guys like Chester Rogers, Marcus Johnson, Desmond Patrick, Mason Platt. What do you see in those guys so far?
They're competing. You know, it's a stacked receiver room. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be a big competition throughout this training camp is to see who comes out of there. You know, I think that's nod to John Robinson and Vrabel for being able to put that room together and that competition together in that room. Obviously, big, strong, tough, physical group. So excited to have that competition in that room, and those guys will be able to help us throughout the year.
Every team goes through change and has new players and coaches come along, but it seems like you guys maybe have a lot more than some other teams around the league. How important is it with some of these new faces, with Todd and some of the others, you all get on the same page and it's not just sort of a collection of talent, but you're all able to work together?
Well, it's crucial. I mean, that's one of our keys to this training camp is to build a team. You know, we have a bunch of guys right now. It's not the same team as last year. It's a new team. So we have to actually come together as a team, improve each and every day, and compete. So getting that familiarity with coaching staff, with teammates who haven't been here before, getting everyone accustomed and up to speed to the way we do things, and then holding that standard throughout training camp and throughout the season is going to be crucial. So excited for that process. Daily intentionality, communication, focus on the details, being able to work through the ins and outs of the game, the details of the game, and then being able to communicate it clearly to everyone involved.
Your perspective as the distributor, how do you go about making sure that all these mouths are fed? You got AJ, Julio, Derek, et cetera.
I think just going through my process, right? Stick to the way I do things and preparing, trying to find good matchups on the field and not trying to force the ball to anybody on a particular play. You know, the targets will come, with the play calls, and we're going to find the right matchups and find the right coverages. You can't just force them to individual. And that's a good thing when you have guys all across the field who can get open and catch the ball is, eventually someone's going to find a good matchup out there and be in a good position depending on what the coverage is. So excited to have those guys out there. And as we continue to work, get on the same page, things should get better for us.
What is the key to getting on the same page with Julio Jones? He's a guy that has always gotten a lot of targets.
Yeah, I think communication is key, right? When we install and I'm talking through what I expect on certain routes, we're in walkthroughs, walking through things. He's telling me what he's seeing, I'm telling him what I'm seeing, and then obviously, getting on the practice field and getting the balls up in the air to him. That's going to be crucial.
Hey, how's it going with Todd? The transition to Todd, how is he different from Arthur? How do you think this will look different on the field?
Yeah, I don't want to compare the two guys. They're both themselves, and that's all we want them to be, is to be individuals, be themselves, and do the best job they can do. So excited to have Todd on board. I've enjoyed talking with him over the past couple years as a tight end coach, and then now as a coordinator. I enjoyed our process of getting to know each other in this new role, and the way he thinks about our offense and our concepts and creating matchups we like. Really excited about him in that spot. So a lot of work to do, but looking forward to it.
I know you're not combing the internet reading this stuff. It's a popular thing for people to analyze you and say, reliant on Henry, reliant on the system. It seems to me that's a good thing, that you're successful in a good system. Is it funny to you the lengths that people will go to find stuff like that, to diminish you?
That's their prerogative. You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I'm going to go out and do the best I can each and every day to get better and lead this team to wins. So at the end of the day, if I'm leading this team to wins, that's all that really matters.
Lines. Some people apparently will never be convinced that you're not injury prone. Did you have to convince yourself after those last couple of years in Miami, or you feel like that was just some bad luck?
Yeah, it was just a couple unfortunate situations, you know. It was really out of my hands. You know, look at my career before that. I was able to play almost 5 straight years without missing a game. And then kind of had a little bit of a bad run there with major injuries. So it's kind of how the cookie crumbles sometimes, you know, the way the ball falls. Sometimes it goes in your favor, sometimes it doesn't. And there for a little bit, it didn't fall in my favor, and glad we're past that.
Derek, does it change the way you play at all?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I still try to go out and compete and play tough, you know, be smart when I'm running, try to, you know, not take any dumb hits, get down if I'm in the open field. But, you know, it's a critical situation, and the first down is on the line, the game's on the line, and I'm 2 yards from the first down, I have a collision coming. Yeah, I'm going to try to take on the defender and find a way to get the first down and keep the chains moving. So just finding that balance of being smart and taking care of yourself, making sure you're not taking unnecessary hits, and also competing and finding a way to win.
What was the process like for you? You got a couple of new veterans in Josh and Julio, obviously, but also a couple of rookies in Dez and Racy, trying to get both those guys up to speed, maybe knowing they're going to be a different, maybe learning curves.
Yeah, no doubt. Everyone's different, right? Everyone that comes in, whether, you know, Julio's, I think, in year 11, or you got a rookie coming in, everyone learns a little bit different experiences and at different speeds. So just being able to communicate, talk through the installs, each route individually, what I'm expecting. We get to the walkthroughs. Those are crucial for us. Kind of take the physical taxing off and be able to really just communicate the nuances of the route with the different leverages and the different coverages. And then, you know, take advantage of every rep. We get the rep, we're going to make it count, and then learn from it on tape. And I think making sure that as we watch the tape and communicate what happened and how we either agree with what happened or want to make a change with what happened, that everyone in the room can learn from that and not make that same mistake again.
Garrett said during the offseason that Ravens loss still haunts him. Going back to kind of your performance in that game, is that something that's motivating the whole team? Is how last season, after what was a good season, 11-win season, division championship, how it ended?
Yeah, it's definitely a sour taste, you know. I think, I can say that no one in that locker room felt great after that. You know, it was a rough inning for us after, a promising year. Being able to win the division was good, but that's not where we compete in this game, is not to win the division. That's a step, but ultimately it's to win a championship. So, sour taste in the mouth, you know, tough ending for us, and I think it motivates a lot of the guys that are in this locker room. But at the same time, it's a new team, a lot of new faces that weren't here for that, and have to find a way to come together with all the new faces and new coaches and find a way to compete for a championship this year.
Right, along those lines, NFL restrictions over vaccinations, you know, making guys reliant. Do you think that's influencing guys' decisions to go ahead and do it? Did it influence yours?
Oh, no doubt. I wouldn't have gotten the vaccine if without the protocols that they're enforcing on us. I think it's a personal decision for everyone. Everyone has to make the best decision for them and their families. That's kind of our mindset in this building. But they're trying to force your hand, and they ultimately have forced a lot of hands by the protocols, which is, you know, everyone has their own opinions on. So it is what it is. You know, I love this game. I love this team. I want to be able to compete and do the things that, you know, I think are important to build chemistry and win football games. So ultimately that forced my hand and to get in the vaccine.
Right. Other than the protocols, any conversations in the midst of making that decision that helped ease your mind, medical professionals, people that were brought into the team, what were the conversations like as you went through that process?
Yeah, there were a ton of conversations. You know, the team brought people in to talk to us, doctors to talk to us. There was a lot of conversations in the spring. I think our numbers were obviously lower in the spring with who was vaccinated. You know, had a ton of conversations in the spring, strong opinions about it as there are everywhere. And ultimately, I think, like you said, we almost 90% or close to 90% of the guys are either vaccinated or in process. So you kind of see what the trend is. And like I said, our hand was kind of forced if you didn't want to, you know, abide by all the hefty protocols.
I guess, was your mind put at ease?
All right. Back here live at Titans training camp. Head coach Mike Vrabel at the podium. We'll go to it live right now.
You know, when you are gifted like that and you play with effort and you play hard and you play with technique and fundamentals, it allows you to be really good. I think this is playing back Ryan's interview. I don't know.
When you've got O-line, D-line going one-on-ones on a day like today, before you build up to Monday, I presume, the pads where they can really be physical, what are you looking for them to work on?
Well, that was something that we came up with a couple years ago just to try to take – you know, some of the helmet contacts off these guys, you know, and when we do the studies and, you know, when the league asks, you know, me to be involved in some of that stuff, I'm all for it. And those are where the numbers are getting real high. It's the O-line, D-line. And so, you know, just trying to take some of the helmet contacts away from it, work with the players, explain what we're trying to do. It's about hand placement. It's about pad level. It's about continuing to move their feet, playing square. You know, it's we're doing the best that we can, and it's never going to be perfect, but there's things that Keith's looking for from an offensive line perspective, and there's some things that Big T is looking for from a defensive perspective. So hopefully we can continue to coach it and do it and take advantage of those days where we're not just, you know, lining up every single day and going at it.
Building off of that, Tierre Tart, he seemed to be pretty impressive during those periods. What are some of the things that you like about him, like maybe his footwork or?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for Tierre is that after the season ended, you know, he met with, you know, he visited with T and he visited with Frank and myself about a routine. You know, this was a player that wasn't at a, you know, a school, you know, with the type of pedigree as maybe some of these bigger schools. And Tierre, like a lot of kids that are 19 and 20, they take a little bit to figure it out. And he was at a couple different schools. And so he built a routine in the offseason. And, you know, I think that's a good segue into, you know, what we said was our offseason award winners. And that was Anthony Firkser. That was Nick Westbrook. That was Larrell Murchison and Tierre Tart. So, you know, obviously we had a lot of guys that were working hard. We could just go on and base that by the guys that were here and here, you know, the majority of the time. So to Tierre's credit and all those guys, he got into a routine, showed up, continued to work, got stronger, worked on his conditioning, and you know, hopefully that shows up.
Off-season award winners.
You know, attaboy, they get to hopefully play, they get better. Now we give them a parking spot out front. We give them whatever perk stretches in charge of the gift basket.
In the 7-on-7, Deshaun looks a little indecisive. How important is it to look at the film to see whether or not that's good defense, the receiver's not getting open, or how much is kind of working with him on maybe making quicker decisions?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it when you look at, you know, which group they're going with and whether somebody ran a wrong route or the spacing wasn't correct or the defense actually covered them. And it all comes down to decision making, you know, not throwing the ball late because somebody's covered. You know, not throwing the ball across our body or not just trying, you know, I mean, we're trying to find completions, but then obviously making sure that, you know, we're not crazy and we're not reckless with the football down there. So I know that came up, you know, at least once down there. And then we'll get to continue to improve. This is, you know, this being able to get down there in the red zone is good. The windows are tighter. It's going to be like that. Tell the receivers that the catches are going to be contested. So that's a great place to start, you know, on the first day. You know, shorten some of those the distances that we're traveling. You know, this is a lot of the stuff that we do is designed to take care of the players, but obviously we know how important the red zone is everywhere.
How much more important the slot has become, I guess, offensively? How important is it that you guys in Molden have a guy that almost seems kind of ready-made to step in there and defend, you know, the better receivers that are playing?
Yeah, you know, Elijah is going to have to continue to improve. He, you know, they throw a lot of bubbles out there, and he was really good at that, and he played there a lot. It just, you know, we're going to have to keep working him on those routes down the field, you know, that we've talked about in the past that continue to come up and show up, you know, as either the true slot receiver or sometimes they may put guys in there to create some matchups. So, you know, Elijah's off to a good start. Had some PBUs today. Looked like he did a nice job in the open field tackling drill as well. And he's conscientious, he's smart, and he's learning.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel at the podium with the media. We will react to what Mike Vrabel had to say, what Ryan Tannehill had to say as well. We haven't had the chance to do that. And then Will Compton will join us. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.